Hey everybody, this is Patty. Welcome to the Witching Hour. This week on the show, we have the one and only, yes, the Conjuring House, yes, Galactic Goddess herself, my star sister, Andrea Perrin, herself. Before I bring on Andrea, where's Patty? Because once a week I have to look at my Google Calendar. And if you are looking at this, the week we first drop, which is a week of Monday, April 15th. Yes, the month is half over. I am home. I probably just got home from Globe, Arizona and the Globe Paracon. And I'm sure we had a fabulous time because we just taped it just before that. But it's a great place, Globe, Arizona. I'm excited about going, but I was just there. We know time and space on the other side. So, but if you are here, I am here. So if you are listening to that this week, where am I going to be tomorrow night? At my class. I'm going to actually do a special class Tuesday at my school, University Magica. I believe the most affordable spirituality and magic school anywhere. I'm going to teach a class on sigils, sigil magic, symbols, sigils, those magical things that can create so much power with a cute little drawing. So class on sigils, go to universitymagicus.com or magicu.org. That's where we're going to be Tuesday. Wednesday, let's watch a movie, Witches Movie Coven. So witches talking about witches and movie and never agreeing once. It's really fun. And you guys get to be live in it in the chat room. So we want your disagreements as well, even when we get along. It's fun. Heather Green, Jason Mankey, Richard Lael Lillard, and Courtney Buckley, and I talking about really good, really bad, and everywhere in the middle, witchy or witchy-esque movies. Other than that, I am getting ready to hit the road for Romania. Yep, there is still time to get tickets if you want for an intimate, amazing witch and vampire tour of Transylvania. Yes, we're going to Bram Castle. We're going to the real place where Vlad the Impaler. We're going to the very haunted Bacchu Forest and doing ritual there with my bestie, Father Sebastian, and maybe once in a lifetime trip. So if you're interested in it, it's online. If you can't find it, DM me and we will get you there. And wait as I get back, join me in Pennsylvania at Pennhurst Paracon. Going to be great. I'm excited. My first year there, everybody goes there. And Pennhurst has been high on my bucket list. And then as soon as I get back, I'm heading for Dallas because what could be more different than Romania, Pennsylvania, and Dallas, Texas? I'm doing one of my witchy weekends at Miracles of Joy. So that's good. May is pretty much gone and I'm going to be everywhere. But that's why I'm taping a bunch of episodes. So I'll be with you no matter where on the planet I am. Got one June trip. I'm going to be at Ventura Paracon, at my friend Stefan Bregotti's very haunted show. And I think I might have some book things in New York in June, but I'll post all that later. So other than that, hang out. Go to my website, pattynegri.com. And from there, you could see what I'm doing without having to keep it in your little head because I can't, so I don't expect you to. As of taping of this, I am still hacked on Facebook. So if you get anything with Facebook with me, it's probably not me, though sometimes I am able to backdoor post sneaking in on one foot via Instagram and Meta, but I can't look at Facebook. So anyway, that's more than you ever wanted to know. But where's Patty? Right here with you. Guess what time it is? Yep, it is time for the... She's ready. She's ready to yawn. Willow Report. Yes. But this week, this is the Nurse Willow Report. Because a lot of you know, my husband's had a health issue lately and he had a big operation. And there we go. All sorts of stuff. And I want to tell you what got him through it more than anything else. I gave him my best nursing. He had amazing doctors and surgeons and nurses. But you know what got him through it fast? You know what got him through it sane? You know what got him healing the fastest? This little dog. Dogs are magic. Dogs are healing. Cats, too. I'm not trying to be one-sided because, you know, we just did Willow. I mean, Grace with Willow. But, you know, it is proven that having pets makes you live longer as a rule. So if you need an excuse to get one in, just say, it's for my health. It's for my longevity. And more than anything else, it's for my happiness. Because they're just love. Just love. Even if she won't look at the camera. There she is. Oh, the side eye, the dachshund side eye. Anyway, that's it. I just wanted to bring her on because she is Nurse Nightingale Willow. She's the best. And if you have one, you are lucky. You have your own little angel, big or little or feline or canine or bird or whatever. They give us a lot. And that's the Willow Report. Hey, everybody. I'm a hot mess this week because we're talking about fire. So I hope it's coherent for you because sometimes fire is all over the place and I am a hot mess on this one. But this week's magic, it's fire magic. You know I am an elemental witch. Air, fire, water, earth, water, flow, 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 earth, ground, 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 water, earth. What did I miss? Air? That's all to do with thinking and thought process. Oh, this is going to be a funny one. Air. I wasn't breathing at the moment and couldn't remember what it was, but fire. Fire is passion. Fire is creativity. Fire is what gets us up in the morning and what makes our heart beat. Fire. Fire is what gets things done, whether it's a volcano exploding and changing the land and earth itself, or whether it is the breath of a dragon, or whether it is the beating of our heart. We have to have nice fire in our life. Wow. And my locket opened up. This is being led by fire. Fire you cannot control very well. And I'm going to leave it like that. Fire can get out of hand. Fire is warmth and fire is shift. So how do you know if you have too much or too little fire in your life? Too little fire, you're not inspired. Too little fire, you don't care about things. Too little fire, there's no passion. Too little fire, you're restless. You just don't care. Too much fire, you get agitated. You get angry. You get argumentative. So you really, really want a nice balance. You don't want to be lack of assertive. That's too little. You don't want to have lack of motivation. You don't want to feel stagnant. You don't want fear of change because that's fear of fire. But you also don't want to be burned out. You don't want to be too impulsive. You don't want to be too much passion or desire without the thought behind it. So every day or every once in a while, check. You know, I'm the queen of the little exercises like run your hands underwater for emotion. You know, do zzz for fire. You know, hug a tree for earth. But every once in a while on the fire thing, because fire is so different than air and water and earth. Fire is so different. Check out, how are you doing? Do you have the right amount, energy, passion? And if you need more, do something that inspires you. Dance around a bonfire, that's my favorite thing to do always. If you can't dance around a bonfire, light some candles, work with them. If you can't light any candles, do the fire lightning strike. It's in my 30-second exercises. So it's literally that zzz, that Z sound that is that lightning strike. You feel it in your belly. Just doing that for 30 seconds with the intent that you're pulling in the fire will bring in the fire or even balance it out when it's too much. If it's way too much and you can't do that, what puts out fire? Water. Water. Yeah, drink a glass of water, but run your hands underwater. Or maybe just stare at a picture of a stream going by or find a real stream going by. Take a shower if you have time. Water softens fire. But fire magic is transformation. If you're getting too stuck and you're not into, just add some fire into your life. This, again, fire is leading this magic lesson. This may be my least well-spoken, least magical. And fire does that as well. That I can't talk, but I have passion behind it. So grab the fire. Grab the breath of a dragon. And if you don't have a dragon, and I'll talk about that another day before, get yourself a dragon to balance out your fire because they will have it whenever you need it. So if you got anything out of this, just pay attention to when you got too much or too little, balance it out, and create your own world. I have you some of my favorite magic in the world right now. Honored to call her a friend. I'm sure you know who she is. She is one of the original real Conjuring House daughters. Yes, that Conjuring House. But since then, she has expanded into the universe. Let me introduce you to one of the most magical, light-filled people I've ever met in my life, Andrea Perrin. Andrea, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, sweetheart. Oh, I'm so, so thrilled to be here with you. The only thing that I would change about my intro is that I always came from the universe. I just didn't start telling people until about 13 years ago.
Most people, anyway.
Certainly not in the numbers that I speak with now, but okay. I am exactly the same way I've always been. There's no element of my personality or my character or my verbiage or my anything that has changed in probably 45, 50 years.
Beautiful. Well, I think the first time I got to meet you, and I've always known who you were, always wanted to meet you, was at Michigan Paracon.
Yes.
And I went, who is this beautiful, again, light-filled, positive, what she brings to the world, woman. And I didn't know this part of you. And then we went outside and called down the galactic people. And we literally called down the galactic people. So it's like, and she sings. So that was my introduction to you going, I've never met anybody like this woman. Were you singing to the extraterrestrial people when you were young or seeing them or experiencing them?
I used to walk out of the house in the middle of the night, and thankfully one of my parents would hear the kitchen door open and close, and then they'd have to come out and pluck me off the swing set, and I would be, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years old and through there. And I wouldn't remember how I got out there.
Wow.
And I would sometimes, you know, winter in Rhode Island is cold, you know, it could be 0 and I'd be out there barefoot in my nightgown. And they would come and bring me in the house and put me back to bed. And I would sing the songs that felt like they were planted in my brain, including Swinging on a Star. And well, there were several, and I wrote about them in my latest book. So music is very much an integral part of my life. And I was born a musician. I play 7 or 8 instruments. I can just pick up a brand new instrument and know how to play it. Nobody taught me anything. I just know, you know, stuff like that. I can talk to animals. They respond. I understand everything that they say. That's been going on with me since I was a toddler, according to my parents, that I would just sit and talk to the dog for hours. And he would, little Tippy, would just talk back to me. So it goes back as far as back goes with me. But when did I find the courage to tell the world just how weird I was? I was 48. I'm 65. So that long ago, I just decided that I just didn't give a damn anymore what, you know, people said or how they reacted to our story. I just wanted to speak my truth and unburden myself and my family and liberate anyone who read it to tell their own story and to make them feel drawn in with my family during our tenure at the farm. It was the most remarkable, most spiritual, most horrifying, most inspiring, it was everything racked up in one thing. You know, my mother titled my trilogy of books, House of Darkness, House of Light. I was about 300 to 350 pages into what turned out to be the first volume when she approached me sitting right here exactly where I am. Probably around 2008 or 2009. And she said, "What are you going to title it?" And I don't know. I hadn't even thought about it yet. And she was just standing right here beside me and she crossed her arms and she just thought about it for a moment. And then she said, "House of Darkness, House of Light. It was both. No comma. It's all one thing."
That is.
And what it is a portal cleverly disguised as a farmhouse, which I have referred to it as forever. And it is. It's a very clever disguise. It'll be 300 years old in 12 years. It'll be 300 years old. And it is absolutely alive with death. I hate that they call it the Conjuring House, but there's nothing I can do about it because I don't own it. And I don't associate that house in any way with the film. And there's nothing in the film that tells the story of the house. But that prompted me to write my own docudrama series, which is now coming to fruition. After COVID, after all these years, I mean, it took years for me to, you know, work with my writing partner, my screenplay friend from Hollywood, who I adore. And he and his wife have been, I mean, we're thick as thieves. And he reads my mind, I read his, and we're about ready to launch a mini series, 10 episodes, one for each year that we lived at the farm.
That's amazing. I can't wait. We are all lining up right now. Well, what other, I mean, yeah, I'm sure because I live in Hollywood. I know TV and movies isn't always what reality is. But what I see, what you, the Conjuring House itself, we both do paranormal conventions, which are about paranormal and ghosts and supernatural things.
And everybody that's friends getting together for any excuse at all. Yeah.
Any excuse. But you are royalty because of the Conjuring House. But because that you get to bring this, your magic, your light to it, which they would not, so many of those people would not have got. They would not be outside of a casino in practically to Canada seeing spaceships coming down with this beautiful woman singing to them. You know, they'd be there with their K2 meter. This is what you brought to the paranormal world like nobody else.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me, especially coming from you. It is, I can't make it more than it is. This is so natural to me. There's nothing supernatural about it. And the easiest thing I do, really, it can be very tiring. Don't get me wrong. I know you know what I mean. But the easiest thing I do is interact and relate with people and introduce them to the galactic family, open their third eye, bring them into the light, make them see something that they've never seen in their lives with the understanding that I can't take it away. You know, like once that part of you is open, it's open.
It's open.
You can't close it. You can pretend it's closed all you want, but you can't really close it. Eventually something's going to tap you on the shoulder from behind. Oh, making my presence known. Hello.
Yeah. So tell, what does that mean for my people, my listeners, my watchers, they understand magic and the other world, how beautiful it is. But okay, what is that galactic family? What is going on? What do you think is going on right here in 2024?
I think that we share this planet with a number of elusive and beings of light, beings from other worlds that found their way here, a lot of them about 75 years ago when we started destroying our planet in a big way, not just incrementally, little here, a little there, but in a big way when we started blowing off hydrogen and atomic bombs. And if they could get here, they did, from as far as they had to come. But they were here long before. We are, in many ways, I believe, a product of them. As much as I'm not here to convince anybody of anything. We all have our own belief system. Even if that belief is that there is no God. Atheism is a belief system. Everything, you know, that's how the human mind is programmed, how our computer hard drive functions. So one of the things about quote-unquote paranormal stuff is that for people who have an issue with it or a problem or a fear about it, you know, a real legitimate fear, I'm not making light of it at all. It's often, I find, because they're afraid it's going to fracture their belief system and they're so invested emotionally into that belief system that they don't want to have to start all over or question anything or think for a moment, oh, you know, maybe that's wrong. And I based my whole life on it. And maybe it's this, not that. That's all big ask. I don't ask anybody to do that. Took me a long time to, you know, come to terms with. That's why I studied philosophy and got a degree in philosophy. And, you know, at Chatham, I had to know. I still don't know, but I had to try to know. And the path forward for me was philosophy, which you can't get a degree in philosophy unless you study every single major religion in the world. Not just the United States, the world.
The world.
So, you know, from Wing Ti Chan, you know, Eastern philosophy to everything. And what I found was that the only thing that made sense to me, the only thing that made any sense to me was that what we worship as God is probably an extraterrestrial race, and that Jesus Christ was a product of that sent to this earth. And then after we killed him for being too good, basically, I mean, in a sentence, that's what we did. Humanity, I mean, not me personally. I would have gone for him. But, you know, I look at it and it's the only thing that makes any sense to me at all, knowing the science around the astronomy of the time, that there was nothing in the sky that could have led three kings, three wise men to the baby Jesus. Nothing. Unless it was a beam of light that was being blasted upon them to follow from above. There is so many depictions of what we think of as vessels or spacecraft in so much of the art going back, you know, well beyond the Renaissance, you know, going back really into the Middle Ages, going back even farther than that, that, you know, this is a thing, and they've been with us forever, and they're really discreet and very considerate and so kind and loving. I had my first conscious contact at the farmhouse when I had just turned 13. Oh, we'd been at the farm for about a year and a half. And oh my God, it changed everything. It was my personal paradigm shift. And then when I wanted to include those stories of the several things that happened at the farm, you know, like big events, not just my first event, but then two subsequent ones that happened over the course of the following summer into the fall, was a very active period. And the only things that I really, really remember from the farm, but my whole family witnessed the second two, not just me. And I wanted to put them in the books. And several of my sisters said, oh, please don't. Don't do that, because we want you to be taken seriously as a writer. And I said, well, okay, so what you're telling me here now is that you think that people are going to believe in the ghosts, the dead people that we're writing about, talking about, explaining our interactions all of that. But the living, sentient, prescient beings that are circumnavigating this globe and cohabitating with us can't fit into that big picture. Can't be a part of, they're like, nope, nope, it can't. It just can't. Don't. Yeah, because they thought it was weirder to be a contactee than it was to have had interaction with spirits.
That's so funny. Because again, it's so, oh, that's so funny. Well, I'm glad you're out of the closet. Whatever. Yeah, one of my first teacher's mentors, he was very much an extraterrestrial, but goes back the whole Anunnaki thing and Nephilim and how half-breeds and how who we are and who he is. I know he's not very human. I mean, I've seen what he's done. And it does put together history rather beautifully in all cultures. And I, too, I'm a bit of a philosopher. I'm the granddaughter of a philosopher, psychoanalyst. He came from a very more humanistic, atheistic perspective. But I read his books, and he studied and it's like, oh, you, Grandpa, you believe the same thing I do. You just use different words, different templates within it. But the truth in there, you're right. It makes perfect sense. So what I do like about how you see it, though, is that you see it as you talking respectful and loving, and they're here for us, where so many people are so fear-based. And yeah, I do agree. A lot of people are fear-based because I don't want you to take around my belief system that I've had my whole life and template it, you know, roadmap my life on. But still, also many people, whether science fiction and Hollywood did that, I don't know. They did that, messed up witches, they messed up vampires, they messed up everybody. But I like that you bring this love and light to it, which is exactly what we need. So they're here. We know that. Do you think that they're going to make themselves more known soon? Do you think it's time?
Not only do I think that the truth embargo has already been shattered, and more so with, you know, every new account, every time another member of the department, high ranking member of the Department of Defense with 600, you know, medals on them, comes forward and says, yeah, this is real. I know where they hide the bodies. And then all of a sudden, everybody scurries behind a closed door off the Senate floor. Every report that comes out that says nothing here to see, folks, I'm like, and I try not to. I went through a period where I was kind of a angry activist, you know, like really like door pounding, like open your door, talk to me about this, you know, this is real, stop lying to us. And now I don't care. And the reason that I don't is because we are the point of disclosure. We, the common people who have had uncommon events occur in their lives, the, you know, those that have had experiences that they're brave enough to share. And there are millions of us, millions, yes. People who have been touched by spirit, people who have had interaction and communion with loved ones past who came, whether in a lucid dream or as a full body manifestation in their kitchen out the corner of their eye and then gone. Yeah, Aunt Vivian was here. Yeah, she was. I smelled the tea that she would boil on her stove. You know, it's beautiful. There's such. If there's a line at all between our realm and the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension and beyond, it's a self-imposed construct more than an actual line of demarcation, I believe. I don't really believe in the veil. Having grown up where I did, you know, Mrs. Warren, the first night she came to the house, my mother had no idea who she was standing at the door. She was sent by somebody else who had been to the house and told she and her husband about it, and they just showed up. And you know, she said something to my mother about, you know, we decided to come when the veil was thin, and my mother's like, what veil? You know, it was not in our vernacular, it was not part of how we talked about, we didn't really talk about it much anyway. And my mother said to her, well, then every, you know, she said, well, because the veil is thinnest at Halloween, and my mother just looked at her like she had three heads and she said, then every day must be Halloween here.
Wow.
It just must, because there's never a time. They did settle down and were very kind and very rather demure at Christmas through the holidays. Oh. And it was not that we wouldn't have sightings, but it would be so loving, like someone standing in the corner watching us pull our stockings down from the mantle board and things like that, you know, or a whoosh of energy. I have a photograph of my sister Nancy putting on a leather jacket that my parents had gotten for her for Christmas. And she turned around and I snapped the picture of her. And then like weeks later when we got it developed, was this cloud of energy just moving right over in front of her. And it was dark outside. It wasn't like streaks of sun coming through the windows or anything. All the photographs showed the windows pitch black. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning. And it's the only photograph that I ever got of that energy. But I lived in it. I lived steeped in it. I learned to appreciate it. I learned to manipulate it. They taught me how. You know, I believe that witchcraft is, at its essence, like Play-Doh. Like you can literally mold and fashion it into whatever you want it to be, except that raw energy, kinetic energy, is more malleable and more easily directed. Excuse me. So, you know, a lot of people say, do you consider yourself a psychic? No. Do you consider yourself a medium? No. Do you consider yourself a witch? Well, I'm not one to label myself because I think I'm probably a little bit of everything. And I think, you know, if not all of us, certainly a lot of us are. But you're a contactee. And I don't know if you know that. But
I believe I am but I don't know much about it. I would love for you to talk on that. Because when I think back, I've been talking to spirits my entire life. When I was a toddler too, I just thought everybody could. I thought it was normal, but it wasn't not negative or scary. Some things were, but mostly it was good. I literally did my first seance when I was 7 or 8 because I knew they had so much to say. And it went in my dark hallway and lights and everything flying out. But when I look back as an adult, I'm like, I think some of my playmates were more than just, you know, dead grandma. So what is your take on that? I love that.
I think that we probably misconstrued some of the things that happened at the farm as being ghostly rather than extraterrestrial. I mean, there were several incidents where there was no problem distinguishing between the two. Yeah. You know, when you see something literally fly down from the sky and land in your garden, that's not one of the ghosts in the house. But I also think that, in a way, spirit is extraterrestrial. It is no longer an earthbound entity. And so, therefore, has a freedom of movement, a kind of mobility that we simply do not have. And so, even though my sister Cindy will sometimes disagree, you know, if we've debated this, she thinks that the spirits are stuck at the farm and they can't travel. I know better. I have had a number of interventions, helpful moments, you know, feelings and sensations of being with some of my spirit guides, and some of them come from the farm. And so I don't know. I mean, it's the only place that feels like home to me, Patty. I mean, this is a lovely little farmhouse in, you know, west central Georgia, that we're in, a couple of acres of land, church on the hill in the back, you know, Georgia. But, and I've lived off and on in this house for 20 years. But I'll tell you, this or the house in Florida, or when I lived out in Pittsburgh for years, when I went to college and then went back for a while, no place on earth is like that the Richardson Arnold Estate.
Wow.
Or homestead. The Richardson Arnold Homestead is what it was first listed as in the first documents that my mother found. And I love it. And I don't want to live there. And I haven't spent a night in that house since we moved out, even though I've been there a multitude of times, especially in the last few years. I go frequently with Jacqueline Nunez now being the owner. I have an open door whenever I want. So I wait. It's a frozen tundra up there, you know. Oh, my God. And so I have to wait till everything thaws before I go back.
And when I don't have parked I want to go with you. I've never been there. I can't believe I've never been there. All the places
well,
I
we have to arrange for you to come.
Yes.
And do an event and, you know, make it a big, I don't know. You said you described me as your friend at the opening of the show. And in a way, and I have a great reverence and respect for that word and all that it means, but it seems inadequate based on how I feel about you. I feel more related to you. I feel connected to you on a cosmic level. And I have since the moment that we met. And I looked in your eyes and you looked in my eyes and we recognized each other. And it has just been, you know, months can go by that we're not in touch. We don't text. We don't talk on the phone or we don't see each other for a while between events. And yet we always, I mean, we just pick up right where we left off. You know, it's blissful and it's a blessing. And I was thinking about you today while I was watching the eclipse. It was wondering if you would be able to see any part of it. We got 80% here.
We didn't get it. I mean, it was, we didn't.
Well, it was.
It was there. We got a small percent, but no. But.
Yeah, it was astonishing. Absolutely beautiful. And it made me feel even more connected to that place where I come from. It took me at least 50 years to admit that I am probably what that is described as a hybrid. Now, there are, yeah, several markers. And if you have any one of the three, chances are you've got some extraterrestrial DNA in you that cannot be identified.
Okay. So what are the markers?
I know. Well, the markers are blue or green-eyed people, single children or eldest or single or a single child, and the Rh negative blood factor. And I am 3 for 3.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and that's great. You know, I hope so, because it sure would be a great excuse, you know, for me to use, you know, regarding all my quirky little habits and my weirdness and my failure to fit in that I spent decades of my life struggling with and always trying to please everyone to be accepted and being so afraid that they were going to see how strange I was. I got threatened with expulsion. I was a straight A goody two shoes student in high school in the college prep program, hard stuff, you know, stuff like modern European history. I mean, you know, philosophy, things that they readied you for college for. And because one of my friends went home and told her parents that I was talking about the ghosts that live in my house, they called the school and complained to the principal. And he called me to the office and threatened me with expulsion if he heard one more lie.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad times have changed. Again, we are like the same person. I have never fit in. I've always been, I don't know how, I don't know my blood factor. I've got the green eyes. I don't know what the first or single person means, because you're not. Oh, you're the first daughter. Yeah, I am not.
I am the eldest of five.
I lose that one, but I got the green eyes. I don't know my blood.
Yeah, that you have it tested to find out if you've got the Rh negative blood factor. I'm a organ donor, and they call it blood marrow donor. And so they have to test you for everything and know everything that's going on should they need any part of you, including your strange blood. So yeah, it's, I can't explain it, Patty, but I do know that when I recognize one of my own, when I see someone who has been touched by spirit, when I see someone who is an experiencer, a contactee. Do you see mommy doing an interview right now? Do you see that, Sam? But no, Pina is being perfectly good. Sam, go see Grammy. I don't know what he's barking at or even where he is. I don't see him, the white fluff ball.
Haven't seen him run by, but I'm surprised mine hasn't said anything yet. She may. They're the best.
He's farting. The dogs were so freaked out by the eclipse today. They were so freaked out. They were hiding.
Really?
The sofa, under the recliner, under the blankets. Yeah, it really freaked them out. The sky, everything changed. I mean, everything felt so. It's just a way for, I mean, millions and millions and millions of us all got together. You know, absolute strangers, absolutely peacefully from one end of this part of the continent to the other end of it and off into the Atlantic. And there, nobody fought, nobody argued, nobody got pissed at each other for taking too much space on the lawn. From what I saw, it was a peaceful, easy feeling from coast to coast. And it was beautiful. And we did something cosmic together, all of us at once, pretty much all of us. And I find that inspiring, truly inspiring.
We looked up.
Yeah, we all looked up at once. Yep, we did.
That's beautiful.
Didn't like the glasses, though. Next time I'm getting much better glasses than that. They were so uncomfortable.
So I love that you got the farmhouse is really a portal disguised as a farmhouse. So do you think that being a portal, which we all understand what a portal is, that will make it much more for both the extraterrestrials and spirit, whether they're from down or whether they're from up, makes it that much more that they work together that way? Again, it's just a door.
I think probably yes. Probably yes. Do I know for sure about that? No. I think that the glacial river that's buried 700 feet below the farmhouse probably has something to do with it. The Lost River of New Hampshire, buried during the last ice age, runs directly underneath the property.
Really?
It's got streams and creeks and rivers and ponds, and it is just water, water. It's a low spot in the very southeastern end of what is known as the Wister Valley that covers Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island, like right in the heart of where the three meet. It used to be Nipmuc Indian land for probably millennia. It was all Native American through there, and the Nipmuc tribe owned, well, they didn't really own anything, but utilized that entire valley. So there's a lot of ancient energy there. Like really, you can feel it. You can lay on the stone wall that runs down alongside where the well is, and you can feel the vibration of the water rushing under the ground in the rocks.
That's amazing.
Cool.
So yeah, I love feeling out every place that I go to. So that's somewhat near Worcester. I don't know how to say. I know I say it wrong.
Yeah, it's, well, if you lived up there, you'd say Worcester.
Worcester.
Yeah, it's water kind of near Worcester.
Born in Worcester. I think I've driven through it once again, but that's where my mom was from. Again, I'm a little native LA girl, but that's where my roots come on my mom's side. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's only about maybe a 45-minute drive from the farmhouse. The farm is in the extreme northwest corner of Rhode Island. And when it was deeded in 1680, it was to help create boundaries between keeping Connecticut and the Massachusetts Bay Colony you know, back and making that square in the corner of the little state, the littlest state. It's the most fascinating place on earth. It really is. And Rhode Island is one of the most beautiful spots on earth. And yeah, it's got its low life areas, but mostly it is spectacular and ancient and haunted and just so active. And not only with people who are, you know, living with spirits and entities in their homes, but that they just accept it. Well, you know, great, great, great granddad built this house. It's paid for long ago. Why don't we just live with our ancestors here rather than sell it and buy a ranch? You know, and I totally get that. I was devastated when my parents sold the house in my senior year of college. I was only like 3 weeks away from graduating. I was devastated. I was so angry. I thought that I would live in that house for my whole life. Wow. I didn't have fear of the spirits. I didn't. I just wanted to go home and be back with my family, including them. You know, I loved even the cranky ones, Patty. You know, I never had a negative altercation with any of them, unlike other members of my family did, but not me. And the first full body apparition that I saw was within a moment or two of walking into that house. Wow. And he looked like flesh and blood to me. I said good morning as I walked past him. And then my sister Nancy watched him just evaporate into thin air.
Wow. I love that you said cranky, because I talk about that cranky. There's so many cranky in life, cranky in death or in spirit. So, and I get mad. So many people say it is demonic. No, it's just a cranky. No.
You have no idea how hard their lives were. What baggage they took with them, you know, why they didn't leave, you know, why some go and others don't. Unresolved issues, you know, a failure to communicate in life might be a second opportunity in death. You know, we don't know. Anybody that pretends to is living in bad faith. They're lying to themselves and then feel comfortable lying to others and will refer to themselves as experts when there is no such thing.
No such thing.
The paranormal. My family, I've said frequently, if my family doesn't know, then no one does. No one on this planet knows. We lived in a house that had at least a dozen spirits that were regularly there or never left or stopped in frequently. You know, from children to very elderly people.
Yeah. Well, I think you never had negative experiences because you can't, with respect, because to be people go in without respect, they're going to get the negative stuff. But you come in from love and respect, and that's what the reactions you're going to get. That's what I think so many people do wrong, too. So, oh, my God, we are so the same. I love it. Lifetimes, baby, whatever that means.
I know, whatever that means and wherever it is. So no, I'm not saying. I never was, you know, frightened or startled or, you know, I was a kid and I was seeing some things that I had not experienced before. But I'm more malleable than most and more connected, I think, than most. And I always had a sense of a familial sense, even though there was no genetic connection between the Arnolds or the Richardsons to my family at all, none. And yet I felt like it was where I belonged. And even though I found the environment to be miserable to live in, so cold in the winter, brutally hot in the summer, rarely comfortable as a house to live in, rarely was it comfortable. But it was inspirational. It was illuminating. It was, I think, probably the most important part of my personal spiritual growth was the 10 years that I lived there.
That is amazing. So tell people, again, I know everybody is intrigued with you as I was when I first met. So tell people a little bit like about your books, where they can find out about you, your podcast.
Well, somebody in Russia hacked my website so badly that I just shut it down. I just let it go. I'll build a new one when I have time and I feel like it. In the interim, everybody on the planet's on Facebook, so you can find me there.
I'll get back. I'm hacked. Again, somebody hacked me.
I mean, I'm not really any place else, but there's lots and lots of accounts in my name because people have cloned me and stolen photographs off my Facebook and, you know, are masquerading as me. And I just have to frequently remind people the only place that you can find me where it's really me is on Facebook. And that's it. But yeah, Amazon is the least expensive, fastest way. And sometimes they run the whole trilogy on sale. And it's like a really significant discount. So it's, you know, best to check. But either way, volume one, volume two, and volume three is the whole true story of what happened to my family. I am doing an extended edition right now of my book, A Wonder to Behold, which is guideposts to intergalactic engagement with humanity. That's the subtitle. They made me do it. They're very, very wordy. It's not just me. They're very wordy. I get a lot of messages. And one of the messages that I got was the morning that the war in Ukraine began. And I was very upset and I could feel what was coming and I knew it would be absolutely horrible. And I had been anxious and angry for months as I felt it coming. And I said to them, sitting on the terrace of my house overlooking Lake Apopka, just a cigarette and drinking my coffee. And I said, I know what the rules are, but this would be a really good time to break them and intervene on behalf of humanity. This is a good time. Right now is a good time. Stop this from happening. And it was February 24th, 2022. And the message that I received that day, Patty, I swear to you, I swear on my sister, on my mother, I swear. I heard and I saw in my mind's eye the communique that I was supposed to receive that day. And it was this verbatim. If we are here, this planet and its people are in crisis. We are here. Oh my God. But we are part of that we.
We are.
They are us. We are them. All are one. And when we as a race come to a deeper, richer, fuller, more expansive comprehension of the concept, the realization of our oneness, when we achieve that, then that's when the merge, the great convergence will occur. And we're getting there. And yes, the time is now, my dear. Yes, the time is now.
On that note, thank you for bringing your magic to